A reading from Luke, the first chapter. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
I had been raised well. My parents, bless their souls, had taught us to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways. They told us the story of God's dealings with us, his people, the Jews. They told us of Abraham and Sarah. They told us of Moses and Samson and Elijah. They told us most of all about the coming of the promised one, the one who would bring an end to all the sorrow and all the death, and who would restore things the way they were meant to be, as from the beginning. They told us, and we believed. I believed. I, Zechariah of the house of Abijah, a priest from a family of priests. I believed, and so I waited. But waiting is wearying, and I'd grown old as I waited. I began to suspect that I would go down to the grave still waiting, just like my ancestors before me, no promised one in sight. Little did I know. The day arrived when it was my turn to do the priest's duty in the great temple of my people in Jerusalem. Oh, I'd done it before. It was always an honor. But usually only once in a priest's life did he get to actually go beyond the big altar out in the courtyard and enter into the sanctuary, to the holy place, and there offer the sacred incense, the sign of the prayers of God's people ascending to the throne of God. It was my turn. I was filled with both joy and holy fear. Soon, I would be standing only feet away from the most holy place. Soon, I would spread the coals on the altar and sprinkle the incense upon them, watching as the smoke rose with the people's prayers to the throne of God in heaven. My prayer? I did not speak my prayer. It is a terrible thing to have your only prayer be a regret. But that was my prayer. I said, I'm sad, God, that you've given me no child, no son. That was my prayer. It was in my heart as I stood before the altar and spread the coals with the shovel and then sprinkled the incense. That was my prayer hidden in my heart, or so I thought. Then he stood beside me, an angel of the Lord, a messenger from God Most High, and I was terrified. I had heard of them all of my life. I had believed in them all of my life, or so I thought. But one of them stepping out of the sacred stories and standing there right beside me, I was not prepared for that. It happened nonetheless. Such words he spoke. He told me that God had heard my prayer, that it was granted, that I was going to have a son who would bring me joy and gladness, not only me, but many people. A son who, like the Nazarites of old, would be consecrated to God from the womb, filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you understand what it was like for me to hear that? I was suddenly confronted with God moving out of the story and into my life and giving me what I didn't even dare to hope for anymore. I confess, I doubted. I couldn't believe it. I questioned. Even an angel standing right beside me. My trust wavered. And I began to wonder if I had ever really believed anything at all. I said, how will I know this? I'm an old man. My wife's well beyond the years of childbearing. It's impossible. Can't be. Have you ever seen an angel get riled? Get mad? Let me tell you, it's not a comfortable sight. And it seems that nothing angers them so swiftly as our not believing. They don't understand it. They've been with him for so long, and they've never known a word that he's spoken not to be true. To them, he is utterly and completely reliable. And they grow impatient with our foolish distrust. He riled himself up. He grew in power and might before me. And I covered my eyes in fear as his might was unveiled. I think for a moment I might have seen him as he stands before the throne of God, a being of beauty that hurt my eyes, a being of goodness so great that all I knew was shame. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you do not believe. You want a sign. A sign you will have. You shall be mute, unable to speak, not even a word, till these things take place. For you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their time. And then he was gone. The smoke of the incense that had hung heavy in the air had long since lifted, but the sweet smell lingered in the room. I don't know how long it took. It must have taken a while. I went out from the sanctuary and looked at the puzzled, upturned faces. They didn't know why I had delayed. They couldn't understand now why I didn't give them the benediction and let them go on their way. And I couldn't tell them. I made signs. Finally, they began to piece together that something had happened in that room. I went home, a man silent, yet my heart bursting for joy. And it happened. God had said it would happen through the angel, and it happened. Impossibly, miraculously, God stepped out of the story into my life, and suddenly my life was like the story. It was Abraham and Sarah all over again. It was Elkanah and Hannah all over again. God doing it again, an old couple unable to have children, suddenly giving birth. You who live in the time of the great fulfillment, you who live in the aftermath of those days, will you trust an old man who says to you, watch out? The story is more alive than you imagine. Don't ever underestimate the power of God to step right out of the story into your life and to pull your life right back into the story. I know whereof I speak. For my child, wondrous as he was but the forerunner. The greater one came a few months later. I met him first when his mother stepped through the door of my house, and my wife shrieked for joy. And I knew the waiting was at an end. The promised one was here in my world, in your world. He really did come to bring joy, to destroy the sadness, just like the prophet said. And how wondrous was the way he would do it. How wondrous. He shuts the mouth of unbelief. Watch out, my friends, watch out for him. This God who comes to be one flesh with you, to suffer, to die, to rise, and to bring life indestructible and joy eternal to you, to all people. Watch. He comes. He comes, and your life will never be the same again.